So Parshas Kisava begins with a discussion of Bikurim, the firstling fruit that's brought to the Beis Hamikdash. Parshas Kisava continues with a discussion of Maaser, Vidui Maaser, the confession of the tithes. And we conclude with a blessing, or prayer really. Hashkifa Mein Kodeshcha, we ask Hashem to look down from the heavens. We ask Uvarech Es Amcha Es Yisrael, that He should bless His nation, Israel, and He should bless the land that He has given us, as He has promised our forefathers. And now we begin to move into the idea of the covenant. A covenant that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to lead the Jewish people into. The Baal HaTurim says, why is it that finishing the subject of the blessings, the prayers that Hashem will bless us, why did we go from there into the covenant? The Baal Turim says, this is alluded to in the book of Tehillim. In Psalm 105, it says, Vayiten lehem artzes goyim. He gave them the nations, the land of the nations, Ba'avur yishmeru chukov v'seiresov, because they would keep His statutes and His Torah. So in other words, what is the best and surest way for us to receive Hashem's blessing, specifically for Eretz Yisrael? Peace in Israel, Ba'avur Yishmeru. We should keep. We should keep our covenant. And the fresher we keep our covenant, and the more we nurture it, the closer we come to actualizing these blessings. Chapter 26, verse 16. Hayeim Hazeh. This very day, Hashem Eleikecha Mitzavcha. The Lord God commands you. La'asais Esachukim Ha'elu. To do these statutes. V'yes ha-mishpatim, and these ordinances, v'shamarta v'asisa oisam, you'll watch them, and you'll do them, v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, with all your heart, and with all your soul. This pasuk requires much elucidation, chiefly because it begins with hayoyim hazeh, this day. We're 40 years into this business. What does it mean, Hayoyim Hazeh? What does it mean, this day? This day, God commands you?
Every day.
Every day. So Rashi says, what is the meaning of Hayoyim Hazeh? When the Torah comes along and says, today, Hayoyim Hazeh Hashem Elokecha Mitzavcha, today He commands you. What do you mean, today He commands you? He commands you today. He gave us the Torah Har Sinai many years, decades ago.
Verberates every day.
So Rashi says, B'chol yoyim yiyu b'einecho chadoshim. Every single day, the Torah should be in your eyes, fresh, new. Ki'ilu boi v'yoyim nitztaveso aleihem, as if today would be the day that you were commanded for them. So there are various explanations for the reason of Hayoyim Hazeh. Rav Tzadik Gaon maintains that Hayoyim Hazeh means Hayoyim Hazeh. You're entering into a covenant now. Here's where it goes live. Now is where you really become fully responsible. The mitzvahs are completed at this point, as the Sefarno says. There's no more mitzvahs being given. And from this day and onward, you enter into a covenant. And the covenant is that Hashem has expectations of you. And the expectations of you is that you will follow His instructions. You will do as commanded. You'll fulfill the chukim and the mishpatim, the mitzvahs which are super rational, as well as the mitzvahs which are rational. And you'll keep them. You'll keep them well. But Rashi says that you don't have to reach for these explanations of Hayoyim Hazeh, that something different changed today, because in Pshuta Shal Mikra, on a literal level, nothing changed today. The Jewish people were obligated to follow Hashem's Torah from the day they were given it. And the golden calf indicates that when they don't follow Hashem's Torah, He got angry with them. Because that was a mitzvah. They violated that mitzvah and Hashem was very upset. So the bottom line is, you have a responsibility towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Full stop. So what's Hayoyim Hazeh? Hayoyim Hazeh means this is how we should view our responsibility. In the same way that if there was a broadcast that came onto everybody's Facebook page and you would hear a prophetic voice and Hashem would somehow communicate with us and say to us, I want you today to put on tefillin. You think there would be a Jewish man in the world who wouldn't put on tefillin? Hashem would come on today and say, I want all you Jewish people to eat kosher food. Would be a single Jew wouldn't eat kosher food? Forget about it. Anechtig etog. God said, mamash now, this is like, this is a fresh piece of news. The truth is, that's how the Torah has to be viewed. Hashem does tell us today. He tells us every single day. So Moshe Rabbeinu is setting up the Jewish people for the correct attitude. And the Pasuk finishes off, v'shomarta v'asisa isam, that you'll keep them. The Mincha Blula says, v'shomarta, this is mitzvahs loisase. V'shomarta means to watch or keep yourself, guard yourself. So guard yourself from doing the wrong things. V'asisa, and you'll do it. This is the idea of the mitzvahs ase, of the positive mitzvahs. Rashi doesn't make that distinction. He simply says that this is a continuation of the previous verse. The verse in which we prayed for Hashem's blessing, and we asked that Hashem look down from heaven and grant Am Yisrael all of its needs. V'shomarta v'asisa eisam is not only a command, says Rashi, but in fact it is also a continuation of the blessing. Baskel mevarachtei, a heavenly voice rings out and it blesses. Heveisa bikurim hayoim, you brought bikurim today, you had a harvest, you had a yield. Tishne l'shana haba, may you merit to bring again next year. And this follows in the footsteps of the famous mitzvah adage, mitzvah goyeres, mitzvah. One mitzvah automatically brings another mitzvah in its train. And the nature of that, an understanding of that is, that the energy of a mitzvah is. A mitzvah means a closeness to Hashem, and the greatest reward for closeness to Hashem is more closeness to Hashem. One mitzvah naturally begets another mitzvah. Now it gets strange. We're going to use some unusual verbiage which is not found anywhere else in the Torah. As Moshe Rabbeinu begins to prepare the people for this great big entrance into the covenant, he says, Es Hashem Elokecha he'emarta hayoim. And I'm not going to translate that. God, you he'emarta today. Li'yeis l'cho le'elikim. That he should be for you as a God. Sounds like something we're doing. V'lo'leches bidrachav. We should walk in his ways. V'lishmoir, and we should keep chukov u'mitzvesov u'mishpatov. Here there's an emphasis on all three. Chukim, the mitzvahs, and mishpatim. Statutes, commandments, and ordinances. V'lishmoya b'keile, and to listen to Hashem's voice. Etz Hashem he'emarta. What is the meaning of Etz Hashem he'emarta? So firstly, before we go to the next pasuk, you have to understand, Rashi did not talk about the meaning of b'chol avavcha, b'chol nafshecha, but does say with all your heart and with all your soul. And the Rosh says, this means afilu noitel es nafshecha. Even if it means God's taking your soul, even if it means mesiras nefesh, even so, we have a responsibility and a requirement to follow through. The Ibn Ezra says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi that the idea of he'emarta comes from the concept of vayoymer, saying. In other words, he said he's going to be for you as a God, and he made it that until that he's saying now you should be for him a treasured nation. But the problem, of course, from at least Rashi's perspective, is nothing happened today. So just like there was no commandment that was given today, there was also nothing that was said today. So how do you understand he'emarta? We finish off with this idea of mesiras nefesh. We finish off with this idea of self-sacrifice, of total, absolute devotion to the point of self-abnegation, even if it means losing everything. That's how devoted we have to be to Hashem. Then we follow v'hemarta. What did he say today? Hashem said today he's going to be our God? And the next pasuk is not really any more helpful. It sounds again like saying, v'Hashem he'emircha. Again sounds like the word saying. Hayyim. Lihi yisloy la'am segula, that you should be for him a treasured nation. Ka'asher diber loch, as he has spoken to you. V'lishmer kol mitzvesev. Both of these psukim begin with the word he'emarta and he'emircha. Both of these psukim speak about the circumstances or special situation where we are lihiyos l'chol elikim, we are going to be, God is to us our God. And the next pasuk is, we are lo ilam segula, we are for him a treasured nation. And both psukim emphasize the idea of shmira, the idea of guarding and keeping the mitzvahs. So the question is, what is going on? This is a really good question. And there's a lot of discussion about this. We're going to follow through with Rashi's approach now, straight till the end. So Rashi says, He'emarta and He'emircha. These are the words that really require serious elucidation. Okay, why does the Torah repeat the Shemitah, and why does the Torah talk about the mitzvahs? One is talking about Hashem being our God, one is talking about us being His people. Essentially, the relationship that's intrinsic and natural between us and Hashem has to be nurtured. It has to be a relationship which we do something about. We cannot take it for granted. But what is the meaning of He'emarta and He'emircha? Says Rashi, Ein lohem eid mechiach b'mikra. There is no word anywhere in the entire scripture which can bring testimony to the meaning of this expression. Now, it's very common for there to be words in the Chumash which are not part of spoken Hebrew. Why? Because we didn't speak Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh was a holy tongue. It was used only for Torah. And even oral Torah teachings were not necessarily taught in Hebrew. And because of this, it's distinctly possible that some words got lost. You know how they say? Use it or lose it. So if not all the words are being used, sometimes Rashi now has the tremendous burden of discovering the source of the word. What's the most natural way to do that? If the word here is not understood, you go to elsewhere where the word is discussed, where it's more clear, and you draw a link. In the language of Rashi, that's called Eid Mechiach. That's called compelling testimony. You may not know what this means, but it's compelling to say that it means such and such. It's compelling to say. Rashi says there is no compelling testimony anywhere. So now it's wide open. What does it mean? V'li nira. So Rashi says, to me it seems, Shehu lashon hafrasha v'havdala. That it means, it comes from the terminology of being made distinct, of being singled out or separated. In other words, this is all about the apartness of the Jewish people. Hivdaltoi l'cha melehei hanechar. Hashem has separated us from other deities. Liyes l'cha lelekim. That we should be His God alone. We should have one God, not many gods. We should rely on one power, not a kaleidoscope of powers, as most people tend to do. So it can't hurt you. Got to keep your bases covered. No. For Jewish people, this is singular. Our devotion to Hashem is singular. V'hu hifrishcha elav. And He separated you, me'am ha'aretz, from the other nations. So there's one God and one Jewish nation. Li yes loy la'am sgula. That we should be for Him a treasured nation. So essentially, from Rashi's perspective, he'emarta and he'emircha is about our apartness. We're different. We're different. We have a devotion in singular focus on one God. Our devotion is in singular focus before Hashem. One nation. That's all. Like Bilam said.
Nation that dwells apart.
This is more than a nation that dwells apart. A nation that dwells apart is what they do. This is what they are. Not just what this is a defining hallmark, not only behaviorally. Now Rashi says something very unusual. After telling us Ein lohem eid b'mikra, there is no compelling testimony anywhere in the scripture. Rashi says, Umatzasi, and I did find there are those who maintain that these words are not even Rashi's words, because Rashi contradicts himself. That those who maintain that these words, a Talmud, a student of Rashi, added this in. Umatzasi lehem eid, I did find for them a testimony. Behu l'shoin tiferes. And that comes from the terminology of beauty or glory. So there's a glory element over here. There's something glorious about our apartness. Kimoi, for example, and this is found in the book of Psalms, Tehillim, chapter 94. It says, Yis'amru kol pe'alei oven. The wicked people are always glorifying themselves about their evil and wickedness. They're always proud about it. So since they're proud of what they did, and since they glorify themselves with that negativity, so too, we have an Eid Mechiach. Now the problem is that there is one such opinion. One such opinion that these words come from a Talmud of Rashi, but it's not necessarily widespread, and it's not necessarily correct. It's intuitive, but it's not everybody agrees with that. And how is it that these words crept into Rashi? And how could be Rashi begins by saying that there's no Eid Mechiyach, and he finishes off by saying there is an Eid Mechiyach? This is a difficult Rashi. And anyway, what does that mean? What does that mean when we say that Hashem made us apart? Why does the Torah use, if it's Havdalah and Hafrasha, why doesn't the Torah use the words Havdalah and Hafrasha? Hivdalta, Hifrashta. These are words which the Torah uses. So this needs to be better understood. Luckily for us, the Rebbe does speak about it. So Rashi is not saying it doesn't refer to the covenant. The Sepharno is very clear in saying this refers to the covenant that we're going into. This is a covenant of distinctness, a partner that's choosing us. We're going to be different. This is going to emphasize the special nature of not only our relationship, but even our very being. Special nature of Am Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, the people of Israel, the God of Israel. All right, so let's take a look in the Biurim book.
Is this a new covenant?
Is this a new covenant? It is, by and large, a new covenant.
Isn't it the covenant from 40 years ago?
No, the Torah concludes with a covenant. We say, Atem Nitzavim Hayim, right? This is your standing today. There is going to be somewhat of a new covenant here going. That's how the Torah concludes. With Moshe Rabbeinu bringing the Jewish people into a covenant, into a fresh covenant. This is something new. It's not the same old. And this is what heralds it. This is what inaugurates that whole concept. So in the Biurim book, on page Peves, Simen Yud Ches, the Rebbe says, Divrei Rashi drushim biur. The words of Rashi really demand better explanation or elucidation. Im amnam nimtza b'mikra mila daima. If there is a similar word, ad shalafia nitna lafarash es hamilim hemarta hemircha. Pardon me, that would be eight. A testimony, meaning a word in the scripture, which is clear. And you could use that to explain Marta and Hemircha, which seem to be permutations of saying, but Rashi rejects that entirely. Nothing was said today. So he rejects that. It doesn't even follow that, even though Yehuda Levi said that. He said this does not mean anything about saying, but it does come from the term glory. So that would be fine. Why can't we say Marta and Hemircha means the glory of apartness, the glory of being different, the glory of being separate? And Rashi himself says that there is some kind of word in the scripture. It comes from the Lashon Teferes. Well, in that case, Madua Bachar Rashi Lefarash is Lashon Hafrasha V'Avdala. If the word glory does show up in the scripture, then why did Rashi choose a terminology or explanation that doesn't show up in the scripture? Pirush, an interpretation, Sheke Edusai Shol Rashi Atzmai, but Rashi's own testimony, Ein Le'ed B'Mikra. There is no testimony in the scripture. Nowhere in the scripture does it say that the terminology of Hemarta and Hemircha means apartness, distinctness, being singled out. Doesn't say that. So Rashi himself says it doesn't say it. But I think this is what it means. But that, I'm telling you that because there is no other testimony in the scripture. And a moment later he says, Umatsasi, and I found there is a testimony. So the Rebbe suggests the Yeshleimar, Shahasiba Lakach, that the reason for all this is Kushi Mamoshi, an actual difficulty. Sheyeshna be Pirush Hamilim, which are found in the literal meaning of or method of interpretation of Hemarta and Hemircha. There is a fundamental problem with saying that Hemarta and Hemircha come from the word Tiferes. What's the fundamental problem? Hamila Hayoim. Today. The problem is today. In verse 17 it says, Hemarta Hayoim. In verse 18 it says, Vashem Hemircha Hayoim. And the truth is, that's what verse 16 starts with also. It's in succession. Three verses in a row in which there's an emphasis on Hayoim. So the first Hayoim Rashi explained as what? The Hayoim of verse 16, he said, that means that b'chol yom v'yom yeh beinecha. Every day is going to be something fresh, something new, something dynamic. Okay, so if the hayoim is literal, And it means every day. Every day Hashem is giving us a commandment all over again. So if every day Hashem is giving us a commandment all over again, how do you explain the words in Pasuk Yud Zayin and Yud Ches in verse 17 and 18 when it says, He'emarta hayoyim, and then it says, Hashem he'emircha hayoyim? What is the meaning of that? How does the glory fit with day? It's your morning glory. How does that fit? V'lachein, kosha lefarish es hamilim he'emarta he'emircha milshein tiferes. It's very difficult to try to squeeze the meaning of glory into the words Hemart and Hemircha. Not because the words Hemart and Hemircha can't mean come in glory. There's an aid. There seems to be a testimony in Scripture. But because it doesn't fit with the syntax. And Rashi always emphasizes syntax. He never focuses only on verbiage. Ibn Ezra does sometimes. Ibn Ezra sometimes only gives vocabulary. Rashi never focuses solely on vocabulary. He always will give us the bigger picture. The vocabulary has to fit into the syntax of the Scripture, into the bigger, wider message that's being communicated. Always. It's always a rule. And the problem is the word hayoyim. The nature of hayoyim means today, means imminent, means relevant in a direct fashion, in a dynamic fashion. Lochein, because of this, Rashi decides it's too difficult. Loi b'chol yoyim, why? What's the problem with daily glory? It's a song. Don't give us your morning glory. What's the problem? I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is we're not so glorious every day. We don't always rise and shine and give us your glory. We don't. That's the reality. Not every day do the Jewish people behave so gloriously. Not every day do we bring glory on high. Not every day are we feel so fantastic. And therefore, if you're going to talk about hayoyim, you're going to talk about today in a dynamic fashion. Loi b'chol yoyim ru'uyim heim. Not every day is it. Are we worthy or is it suitable to use that kind of terminology? V'isnagusam l'kach in our behavior. Could we say that Hakadosh Baruch Hu yishabeach v'yifareisam? Every day Hashem says, "You're my glory." The glory of God is the behavior of the Jewish people. Nah, not necessarily. Let's get real. That doesn't really happen all the time. We have plenty of down days. We've had plenty of down days in the last 40 years that Moshe Rabbeinu brings up to this point. And Moshe Rabbeinu knows very well that in his absence, those down days are only more likely instead of less likely. And they're going into the land of Israel. And that's going to be very challenging. And it was very challenging. And in the end, it was undoing. So how can I say, Hashem emircha hayoyim? Hashem said, you're glorious today. V'lachein, therefore, the Rebbe suggests, Ma'adif Rashi l'farash es hamilim he'emarta and he'emircha. He says the terminology is not glorious. The terminology is distinct. It's apartness. It's being singled out. We're always singled out. We're never like everybody else. We're always treated differently. No matter what is going on in our spiritual state of devotion to Hashem, whether we behave gloriously or ingloriously, we're always different. That's one thing that never changes. We're always different. We're always going to be singled out. We're always going to be pointed at. We're always going to be apart from the rest of the world. As much as we try to be a part of things, we're reminded that there's an apartness. You're really not like the rest of us. And that is daily. That's always. That's a constant. That will follow us wherever we go. Shekain, lefi Peter zeh, hadvarim nechayim b'chol zman b'chol matzav. And from that perspective, the word he'emart and he'emircha, if it means being singled out and separate and different, if it means being apart, it's always applicable. Gam shebnei Yisrael einam helchem b'derech hayasher. Even when we don't follow the straight, upright path, even when we're not behaving like Hashem's special children, even then, we're still different. And the world knows it. Everybody knows it. Tomid makirim bnei Yisrael b'kach. The Jewish people always know Hakadosh Baruch Hu elikehem, that the Lord God Hashem elikenu is our God, and regardless of whether we behave appropriately or not, He is our God. There's a famous story that a little, not so little, but a big boy was a very, very big and built and athletic, and he got a scholarship to La Crosse University, and the problem was that it's a very Christian school, and he's a Jewish boy. But his father said, "We're atheists. Who cares? You get it. We don't believe in anything. We're secular." So he went off to La Crosse University, and he came home a few months later, and he put a big wreath on his door, and he decorated everything with mistletoe and green and red. And the father came fuming, and he said, "What are you doing?" And the son said, "We don't believe in anything. What's the problem?" He said, "Listen here. There's one God, and that's the one we don't believe in. And that's it." So the Jew, no matter where he goes, he always remembers, there's one God, and that's our God. I may not be happy with him. I may not be doing what he says, but there's always a constant. There's always going to be Hamarta. There's always going to be a partners. It's always going to be the case. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Re'eh Bem Tamid Es Am Shgulasei. Here's the good news. Regardless of how we behave, we're still Hashem's treasure people. That's why he chastises us. That's why we get punished. I don't discipline somebody else's kids. Because we're Hashem's children, he does discipline us. But that comes from our apartness. So there's a glory in our apartness. But it has to be about apartness, not about the glory. Now, here in the next page, we have this idea continued that Rebbe suggested, furthermore, that these two different interpretations, the one which fits syntactically, and Rashi opts for it, even though it doesn't have an Eid Mechiach, it doesn't have any common rubric that it can fit into in the verbiage that's found elsewhere in the scripture. But nonetheless, Rashi still opts for that because it fits with the syntax. But Rashi does bring the secondary idea that there is some kind of Eid Mechiach. It just doesn't fit. So the Rebbe here suggests that Shnei HaPirushim, that these two interpretations in Rashi, they allude to two distinctly different paths and dimensions within the service of Hashem. It is through these paths that we nurture a meaningful and a profound relationship with Almighty God. As Hashem Hamarta, Hashem Hamircha. Hashem is singled out as our God, we are singled out as his treasured people. So the first interpretation is Lashon Hafrasha V'Havdala.